Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Spells of Mist and Spirit by Sarah Piper, narrated by Stephen Dexter and Nicole Poole. Chapter 1. Ansel. Before the man was unceremoniously dumped inside the cave, I didn't think it was possible for a mage's soul to be more broken than mine. Especially not the soul of one of my Arcana brothers. Especially not his soul. Cass was supposed to be our leader, the strongest of all of us, unbreakable. But he is broken. I know it as surely as I know all the shades of blue in Stevie's eyes. How could I not? I'm the one who shattered him. That's how it feels, anyway. I may not have any control over the one they call the Black Sun, but he's still connected to me. I can see and feel everything he does. His every word, every action, every thought weighs heavy on my conscience. The blood he's spilled is on my hands. When the Dark Arcana split me in two, this part of me, the true part, kept the conscience, the heart, the soul. That thing, he took the malice and cruelty, the darkness I've been carrying my entire life, finally made manifest, and then he amplified it. I wish I could say it wasn't my fault, but it is, and now I watch, helpless and invisible in the shadows of the misty cave, as the Black Sun and his master look upon my Arcana brother like he's a prized buck they've just shot and dragged out of the woods. They can't see me, like the rest of the mage and witch souls they've exiled. I exist between realms, here, yet not here, alive, yet not. From the looks of things, Cass may soon join the rest of us.
Truthfully, I was hoping the professor would put up more of a fight,
my dark counterpart says, lips curling back over his teeth. The wand of flame and fury pulses bright in his hand, and he prods Cass's slumped body with it.
Guess he's just as feeble as the others. How he's managed to survive his own pathetic life even this long is a mystery.
But he has survived, and you're fortunate that's the case.
Dark Judgment places a hand on the shoulder of his star pupil.
You have much passion for this work, my son, an admirable quality, but you must rein in your fire until it is time to fully unleash your power.
The Black Sun glares at him, a spark of defiance igniting in his eyes. I feel it rising in my own chest, his unchecked desire to dominate, to burn. Not long ago, he looked upon Judgment with reverence and awe, but that's no longer the case. The wand has given him a thirst for power that only destruction and death can sate, and right now, the other Dark Arcana are all that stand in his way. He doesn't want to share. None of them do.
What the darkness has unleashed will never again be caged, Druid.
He tightens his grip on the wand, a fierce wave of possessiveness roiling through his body. Judgment releases his shoulder and smiles, the beaming grin of a proud father, his razor-sharp fangs tipped in blood.
Good man, my son. Another test passed.
A test?
Yes, you are more than ready for what awaits. Our magician will be quite pleased with your rapid progress.
At this, my chest constricts with a mirroring flicker of the Black Sun's only vulnerability, my vulnerability. That desperate, endless quest for validation and recognition from a father who turned his back on our family the moment he discovered I was a mage and not his son, and from a mother who blamed me for the ruins she set ablaze with her own treachery and lies. Judgment is a poor substitute for a parent's love, but still, he's offering him everything I never had. No matter. My parents are dead now, incinerated in the attack on my hometown, conceived by judgment and carried out by the black sun standing before me. I may as well have lit the fuse myself. The taste of blood and ash fills my mouth, and in this moment I feel more connected to my own darkness than ever before, and for the span of a single deep breath, I'm almost ready to give up, to fade out of the flimsy existence I'm still clinging to, and let the dark arcana take whatever they want. But there, on the cold, wet ground before us, Cass, my professor, my friend, my brother, finally coughs out a breath. It's labored and bloody, but the life hasn't left him yet. He's still fucking fighting. And as long as that's the case, for however long it lasts, I'm not going anywhere. The black sun shoves the end of the wand into Cass's bare chest, right over his heart. The mark of judgment flares to life. XX, Trump 20. Cass's body spasms in pain, but he makes no sound. I run to him, dropping to my knees beside him and reaching for his hand, but he can't feel me any more than the others can see me. I'm no more substantial than the mist. As far as the dark arcana are concerned, Ansel McCauley is dead and gone.
Leave him,
Judgment says, and the fiery mark fades into a charred black wound.
I have preparations to make with the others, and you must return to the fool's grave to await the professor's companions.
Why are you so sure they'll be there?
The Light Arcana are not so foolish to believe they can win this war without the sacred objects. They will most certainly attempt to retrieve them.
But they're sealed in protective magic. They can't unlock it without my blood. Or his, for that matter.
He kicks Cass's leg, unleashing another dreary moan from the wounded man's lips. Even in the dimness of the cave, the black blood shines wet on the back of his skull. Goddess, what I wouldn't give for even a breath's worth of magic right now.
Precisely,
Judgment says.
Take what you need from the professor, then go to the fool's grave and wait. When the others arrive, you will play the part of their beloved Ansel.
He crouches beside me and retrieves a small vial from his pocket, then helps himself to the fresh blood still leaking from Cass's wounds.
The Light Arcana are reckless and emotional,
Judgment continues.
The moment they believe you've returned to them as their former friend and brother, logic and reason will flee. They'll trust you to help them unearth the objects, and then you'll valiantly offer to lead them back to Cassius Devane.
You want me to bring them here, to the cave?
The Star would never resist a rescue mission, especially when it comes to the men she claims to love.
Judgment shows his teeth again, but his smile quickly turns into a sneer of mockery.
Her unabated feelings toward her precious moon arcana will be the final nail in her proverbial coffin.
His disdain and contempt toward the woman we love fills me with a fire so intense I'm surprised I'm not glowing with it. Beneath my touch, Cass flinches as if the same fire burns inside his veins, but he doesn't open his eyes, doesn't take another breath. Judgment begins a tiresome speech about victories yet to be earned, magic yet to be harnessed, but I don't need to eavesdrop to understand his plans. They're going to lead my brothers and our woman into a trap. And then they're going to obliterate their souls just like they did mine. With the keepers of the grave turned dark and the sacred objects in the magician's possession, their armies can easily tear the thin veil separating our realms. They will gather their undead soldiers and break upon the campus of Arcana Academy like a tidal wave unleashed on an anthill. Once the Academy has been destroyed and all who live annihilated or enslaved, the armies will move on to the wider world. The magician will control magic for an eternity, and everything around him, everything that doesn't serve him, will burn.
So, you mean to kill her, then? The Black Sun asks with a twisted grin of his own, and my heart, what's left of it, slams against my chest.
Gotta admit, didn't see that coming. I figured the magician would have some other use for the star.
He has plenty of uses for her, none of which require her to be alive, at least not in the way that humans think of the word. Alas, as much as I'd love to be the one to redeem the fallen star, I'm not going to kill her.
Judgment glances down at the lump of human formerly known as Cass.
We're going to watch him do it, but not until he drives her to the absolute brink of madness.
The professor? He's as lovesick as the rest of them. He'd die before he hurt that woman.
Judgment reaches for the man's shoulder again, his eyes full of an ancient wisdom, so dark and deep, so certain it fills this fading heart of mine with ice.
In the end, my son, every last one of them will atone. Only by seeking absolution for their sins will they come to know peace. But before such peace can be granted, first they must be broken.
The deadly, ominous warning echoes across the cave, and the vile assholes finally leave us, one to go kiss the boots of his master, the other to lead our brothers and our bright, beautiful star to their deaths. I close my eyes, and with everything I have, call on the very last shred of my magic, hoping to goddess I've got enough of something left inside me to reach across these forsaken realms and make him hear me. Cass, you need to wake up. Now.
Chapter 2. Stevie. Jareth is not having it. His ear-piercing screech and the frantic beating of wings against the glass outside gives me and the guys just enough warning. Without a second to spare, we dive behind the bed and take cover. The fucking window explodes. In a tempest of glass and fury, my owl swoops inside, circling the small room twice before finally coming to perch on my shoulder. He's trembling, tiny shards of glass raining from his wings like snow, but despite the epic break-in, he doesn't seem to be injured. Way to make an entrance, buddy. Gingerly, I rise from the rubble, careful not to jostle him too much. He hops down to my forearm, his weight familiar and comfortable, and for a single heartbeat I allow myself the luxury of closing my eyes and taking a deep breath. All I smell is blood. A tremor rolls down my spine and Jareth's talons dig in deep. His energy fills me at once, his fear and rage mingling with my own, his protective magic pulsating through my body in warm electric waves. It zips across my skin and makes the hairs on my arms stand on end. Suddenly, I want to move, to run, to fucking fly. Out the window, across the desert sands, all the way to the ends of the known world, until I've left every terrible nightmare behind. Do it, Stevie. Just go. A firm grip on the back of my neck brings me back to reality, and I open my eyes to find Baz standing before me, his eyes glowing with a strange light. Baz? I reach up and touch his lips, my fingers trembling. His skin is hot, his breath ragged. Are you... What's happening?
You tell me.
I draw back, my fingers still vibrating. It's not his light, I realize. It's mine. My skin, my hair, my entire body is bathed in a soft golden fire, pulsing in time with my heartbeat.
Rein it in, little bird,
Baz whispers, sliding his hand up to cup my cheek.
I love a magic show as much as anyone, but right now we need you calm and focused.
We need to get to Cass and Ani, I say, remembering the mission with sudden shocking clarity. Why are we still standing here? We need to go,
We will. But not like this.
He brings his other hand up, cradling me, beseeching me with those deep, red-brown eyes.
Breathe it out, Stevie. Let it go.
I hold his gaze for a beat, then finally nod, blowing out a breath and stamping my feet to dissipate the energy. The glow fades away. From his perch on my arm, Jareth lets out a soft hoot and tucks his head under my shoulder. "Hello, handsome." I pick a few shards of glass from his wings and stroke his feathers. "It's okay. We're all okay." "Stevie? Kieran?" Muffled voices call out from the other side of the door, frantic and tight. The rest of our friends are still beating madly on the wood, but Ani's wards are holding strong. With a quick spell, Kieran calls on his air magic and Baz offers an assist with his earth magic, attacking the wood. The door begins to rattle in its frame, and with one last push from the outside, the whole thing finally gives. 5 witches rush into the room. Poor Jareth takes off, rocketing back out the window where he so dramatically entered only moments earlier. He doesn't go far. I can feel his presence on the roof, my stately familiar keeping watch over us all.
"Goddess, what happened?"
Professor Broom sweeps me into her arms, then pulls back to check me for injuries.
"You're bleeding!"
"It's not my blood. I'm okay." Nat, Isla, Carly, and Professor Maddox surround us, all eyes wide with shock as they take in the devastation. Broken furniture, shattered glass and wood, and blood, a river's worth, running in a wide black slick on the other side of the bed. The smell of it curdles the air, threatening to make me retch.
"Oh, Doc, I'm so, so sorry. Please be okay. You and Ani have to be okay."
"Stevie!"
The urgency in Professor Broom's voice yanks me out of my misery. Pushing the bloody tangle of hair from my face, she says firmly,
"What happened in here? Where are Dr. Devane and Ani?"
"Whose blood is that?" Nat asks, and Isla lets out a strangled gasp at the sight.
"Stevie?"
Broom presses.
"They're gone. They're just gone. Ani attacked us and..."
My voice breaks and I shake my head and turn away from her. I have to stay focused on the mission. There's no time for sorrow or regret. Only time to act. I cross the bedroom, searching the dresser and night tables for any magical supplies left unbroken, anything we might be able to use on our quest. Unfortunately, there doesn't seem to be an intact spell jar or candle in the place. Everything was decimated. Professor Maddox runs her hand along the mattress, her eyes glazing with tears.
"So much anger," she whispers. "So much violence. I can feel it in the very air."
"Ani,"
Baz says.
"It was all Ani."
She nods, her shoulders slumping as if she already knew Ani was the source.
"What happened? How did he regain consciousness? That sedative should have kept him under for hours."
"The nightmare's lullaby potion was a bust,"
Baz explains.
"Ani went completely ballistic. He's gone total dark side, just like Stevie feared. Cass was trying to do the spell and Ani just..."
He shoves a hand into his hair, his eyes wide as if he's reliving the shock of it all over again.
"Everything unraveled so fast. He flew into a rage and..."
The words die on his tongue, just like they died on mine. The others look to Kieran, but our tower only shakes his head, eyes fixated on the pool of blood where, just minutes ago, Ani nearly bashed in Doc's skull. Disgust and terror twine around my heart, making my chest hurt. None of us can give voice to the horrors we've just witnessed, horrors perpetuated by one of our own.
"He's got the wand,"
Kieran finally admits. Everyone sucks in a shocked breath at that.
"That would explain why he's so much more powerful than we imagined," Maddox says. "But the darkness in him. Goddess, I wouldn't believe it was possible if I couldn't feel it for myself. He's the Sun Arcana, goodness and light through and through."
"Ani's not in his right mind," I say. "But we can get him back. We will get him back. We just need a few supplies and we'll bring them both back."
Carly narrows her eyes. "Back from where exactly?"
When I don't respond, she grabs Baz's arm, her gaze desperate, the complete opposite of the cool Queen of Snark I'm used to. I swallow down another wave of terror. We're falling apart, one by one, and that's the last thing we can afford to do. We need to be strong and united, unstoppable, unbreakable.
Tell me what's going on, she implores Baz. Where are they?
You tell me, Carly.
He turns away from her, his anger rising. It washes over me like lava, threatening to burn everything in its path.
Are you supposed to be the clairsentient one here?
Baz! I shake my head in admonishment, but I know his anger isn't directed at Carly. We're all freaking out. He finally meets my gaze again, and I nod for him to go on. As far as I'm concerned, everyone in this house is in the inner circle. Keeping secrets is not an option. After a deep sigh, Baz turns back to Carly and says,
Stevie thinks Cass and Ani are being held captive in the Spiral Caves.
Spiral Caves? She asks.
Some ancient place beyond the void where dark judgment calls the so-called sinners to atone.
Absently, he rubs his chest, right on the spot where judgment marked him. The mark itself is gone, but I'm sure the pain still lingers.
The place from your visions? Carly asks me, and I nod again.
Stevie. Professor Maddox presses her fingertips to her temples like she's trying to keep her head from exploding. Your visions are powerful, I'm not questioning that. But so much of what you see is wrapped in metaphor and symbology. What you experience in your dreams and visions is unique to you and you alone. We're not even sure those caves exist in our realm, not in the way you've experienced them in your dreams. Well, they exist somewhere, I say. I'm sure of it. As long as that's the case, then we've got a chance at finding Doc and Ani. And as long as that's the case, we have to take that chance.
Okay, she says. Let's assume you're right, and the caves exist somewhere we can actually get to them. Why are you so certain the mages are there?
The magician. That's his prison of choice.
You're certain?
He all but admitted it to me. After my solstice ritual earlier, there wasn't much time to get into the specifics of everything the magician revealed to me. We were too focused on subduing Ani and trying to break him out of judgment's hold. But I have to tell them now. They need to know what we're up against. All the witches and mages who've died recently, everyone they framed, tortured, and executed, are fighting for the Dark Arcana now, I say. Not willingly, but forcefully.
But how can executed witches fight?
Isla asks. It takes me a minute to find the courage to tell them the whole story, and when I do, the words threaten to choke me. I can barely speak above a whisper, but I force myself to continue, painting the same gruesome picture for my friends as the magician painted for me.
We're talking about thousands of people, I say. So many more than what the media is reporting. Since this whole thing started in earnest, there have been mass executions, mass graves. With help from the dark mages in our realm, the magician stripped out all those souls and replaced them with dark magic, some sort of spell that keeps them physically alive and bound to him.
Alive isn't the word I'd use,
Baz says. Undead, I say. An entire army of them. They will keep fighting for him until their bodies literally disintegrate. As for the souls? A deep, dark shudder racks my body. He's imprisoned them in the spiral caves beyond the void.
You've seen all of this?
Isla asks gently. All I can do is nod.
And if her other visions are any indication,
Baz says,
the general of this fucked-up army is none other than Ansel Macaulay.
The Black Sun, I say. That's what Dark Judgment called Ani in my nightmares. They said he'd be the one to lead the armies to victory.
But how? Carly asks.
Something to do with the Wand of Flame and Fury, I say. We think it can literally raise the dead. Maddox nods, her face as pale as the sheets.
Wands contain the very spark of life. If the Dark Arcana have found a way to harness that energy, goddess, I can only imagine.
There's more, I say. Regular witches and mages aren't the only ones he's turning. With Judgment's help, the magician is planning to turn all the light arcana dark, just like he did with Ani.
But Ani isn't... He's not undead, Nat says.
Right. I wrap my arms around myself to keep from shivering. Apparently light arcana don't need to be executed. He just drives the light out of us. The physical body and consciousness remain, while everything else, the heart and soul, the light that makes us who we are, is imprisoned in those caves. Nat sits on the edge of the bed,
her toes mere inches from the pool of Doc's blood.
So you figure that's where Dr. Devane and Ani are, too?
Yes, Doc and the real Ani, I clarify. Ani's soul. That's my best guess, based on everything I've seen.
It makes sense, Professor Maddox says. But again, do the caves exist in our realm? From what you've described, it doesn't seem like the sort of place you just happen upon while hiking through Arcana Academy lands.
No, a place like that wouldn't exist here, Professor Broom says. If Judgment and the Magician are imprisoning souls, they wouldn't use a place from our realm. Doing so would require too much energy on their part. They can't fully manifest here, not yet anyway.
Stevie, I'm with the professors on this one.
Kieran plucks his glasses from a pile of broken glass on the floor and pushes them back onto his face, his pale green eyes electrifying in the dimly lit room.
Any place the Dark Arcana are using to trap souls has to be in another realm. Even if it's touching our realm somehow, the only way we can access it is through the dream realm.
If that's what it takes to get them back, I say, then I'm in.
He glances over at Baz, then back to me, his face tight.
The three of us barely made it out alive last time, and Ani...
Kieran cuts himself off with a quick shake of his head, dark hair falling into his eyes and hiding the pain I know he's feeling. I feel it too. His, mine, Baz's. It's all wrapped up together in a sharp, thorny bundle, piercing my heart with every breath. Ani didn't make it out alive. That's the part Kieran can't bring himself to say out loud. Our ginger snap overdosed on my dream potion and went into the realm alone, and now he's gone. My eyes blur with tears, but I brush them away. I can cry later, a bucketful, a bathtubful, an ocean of tears for everything we've endured. But right now, I need to get everyone on board with this mission.
That's just it, I say, picking up a cracked bottle of what used to contain fairy's breath.
Like everything else in this room, it's useless now. The boundaries between the realms are weakening. Otherwise, the dark version of Ani wouldn't have materialized here like he did. We all saw it happen.
Yes, Kieran says. And then he and Doc vanished, likely to another realm.
A realm we might be able to get to if we leave now. The longer we wait, the less chance we have at finding anything.
I shove a hand through my hair, trying to ignore the matted blood drying in my curls.
Goddess! We're standing here debating the possible location of magical realms while our brothers are trapped in one, held hostage by the same psychos plotting to enslave the magical world and kill anyone who gets in their way. What is wrong with you guys?
Kieran's eyes flash with pain, and I immediately regret my words. But before I can apologize, he crosses the room and takes my hands, squeezing tight.
I get that your instinct is to go after them. I want to bring them home too, Stevie, more than you know.
Then help me, I whisper, the tears spilling, despite my best efforts to contain them and Kieran's best efforts to comfort me. With every beat of my heart, pain floods my body, the thought of abandoning Doc and Ani turning me inside out with grief.
There's nothing I won't do to fight for our brothers.
He cups my face, stroking my cheek with his thumb.
Nothing except risking your and Baz's lives in the process. If we go into this thing half-cocked, we could get trapped out there. Wherever the hell out there even is,
Baz says.
They're right. Professor Maddox sits on the bed next to Nat, putting an arm around her shoulder and slowly turning her away from the blood she's been staring at. You could lose hours, days even, wandering between realms, hoping for that one needle in the magical haystack that's going to grant you entry to the right place.
So what do we do then, just stay here and hope for the best?
Fresh frustration simmers in my blood, but I force myself to take a few deep breaths before speaking again.
Look, I know it's a long shot, and I know it's dangerous as hell, but I don't care where the caves are. All I know is the place I saw in my visions was out past the holly thicket, out past the mists. Once we get there, we'll figure out next steps, but I can't just sit here and do nothing.
No one's suggesting we do nothing, Professor Maddox says.
So far, I'm not hearing any other ideas.
I turn away from Kieran and head to the broken window, staring out across the night sky. The desert is calm and peaceful, the breeze as sweet as a freshly cut apple. Jareth swoops down from the roof,
his shadow cutting a dark path across the backyard, vanishing into a tree at the edge of the property. His white feathers are a beacon in the darkness, and once again the urge to flee rises up inside me. I could go now.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?